Psalm 89 and verse 20. My covenant will I not break, nor, sorry, verse 20. I jump to verse 34. Verse 20. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. I encourage you, you can pray this blessing over your life and you can make it a daily affair. Just like you do your confession every day, you can bless yourself also with this. And you can put your name there. Where he said, I found David my servant, I found Fred my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. Does that sound good? So for every weakness, God supplies strength. Amen? Amen. The enemy shall not exact upon him. This is deep. No harassment over your life anymore. Nobody harassing you on a street, on a lonely street, removing your phones and your gadgets and forcefully taking them away. They will not exact upon you. Amen. Nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his own be exalted. Does that sound good? Yes, say amen. Amen. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. There is wealth in those places. They drill oil deep down from the seabed. So God is saying, I'm going to make him wealthy. You like God to make you wealthy? I hope you know that is not a sin. He shall cry unto me, thou art my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Does that sound good? My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. And my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. And his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Verse 34, and I'm going to stop here. Okay, I'll stop at 35. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. And I'm going to stop at verse 35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. The Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about the covenant keeping God for a while. And we looked at the battle. My sound was better before. No, put it back here, handheld, and make it good. Amen. So this is good. Thank you, guys. So we looked at the epic battle between David and Goliath. It's a battle, it's an account in the Bible that we are all familiar with. You've probably been taught from Sunday school to kindergarten and then to now that you are an adult. But there are certain nuggets that we must not miss in that account. Nuggets that we need to take with us. And we need to apply in our own private lives as we engage with people and as we encounter issues in life. Now, there is nobody too young to be challenged by the enemy. As long as your destiny makes sense, as long as your destiny is great, the enemy is going to test you, is going to challenge you, is going to try to distract you so that you don't get to that point that God wants you to get to. But you have the choice to say, I am going to get there. Regardless of the storms you bring against me, Now, we are covenant conscious people, and as covenant conscious people, we must learn to respond differently to the challenges of life. When everybody crumbles under the weight of challenges, we rise on the wings of the storm, just like the eagle. You see, other birds, when there is a storm, they run for cover because the storm can just blow them away. It's a challenge to them. It's sometimes it can even end their lives. When they get into the eye of the storm, it can twist them in such a way. So they run away from the storm, but not the eagle. The eagle finds its way to ride on the wings of the storm. So what kills others actually gives the eagle an easy ride. As believers, God expects that even though we also go through tough times like the rest of the world, we should respond differently. We should respond differently to the challenges of life. Why? Because we have a covenant with God. And God said in his word, we've just read it now, that he will not break his covenant. In fact, in Genesis 8:22, he says, while this earth remains, heat and cold, summer and winter, day and night, seed, time, and harvest will not cease. As long as this earth remains, it's a covenant. And so we had, last night, there was a night. But glory be to God, we are not in the night anymore. This is a new day. This is the morning of a new day. And then in another 7 or 8 hours, there is going to be another night. Am I right about that? And then another maybe 12, 16 hours, there'll be a new morning. Because God has put that covenant in the earth. As long as you have food to eat on the table, God's covenant is in force, because God said, if you put seed in the earth, there will be food on the table. Seed, time, and harvest. The next time you buy bread and you begin to eat that bread, remember, this is covenant. Oh, bread, they didn't plant bread. They planted the wheat that they used to make that bread. And if it was cassava that they used, they planted it. And God's covenant came into force, and then there was a harvest, and then they processed it, and whatever product you have, glory be to God. But everything still boils down to the covenant of God. God is a covenant-keeping God. And that's why I want to encourage you, church, this morning. Don't be a casual friend of God. God has no respect for casual relationships. God relates by covenant. And he loves it when his children come to the consciousness of the covenant that they have with him. And we relate to him based on the covenant. When we pray based on the covenant. When we evangelize based on the covenant. Are you with me, church? When we cast out demons, we believe that they will go based on the covenant that we have with God. When we face the challenges of life, we know we will overcome based on the covenant that we have. However, not every Christian remembers the covenant. That was what made the difference between David and Saul. The two of them had the same covenant with God. God made the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17. And if you read from verse 11 all the way to verse 14, God said, now, this is going to be my covenant between me and you. Every male child in your family, and I hope media is listening to me this morning. Genesis 17, I said, I didn't say Proverbs 11, I said Genesis 17. Genesis 17, and if you take it from verse 11, God was talking to Abraham, and he said to him that, now, you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. God said that to Abraham at the age of 99. How easy is it for a 99-year-old man to be circumcised? Painful, you agree with me? Blood everywhere. It was a bloody, bloody day in the household of Abraham. And so the next verse, go to the next verse quickly, please. Next verse. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. Generations. Every man child. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not your seed, inasmuch as he comes into your house under your tent, under your leadership, is got to be circumcised. Next verse. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting. Not 10-year lasting, not 100-year lasting, not 1,000-year lasting. Everlasting covenant. Can I have an amen to that? Now, God said that. Should we take God serious? Come and talk to me. Should we take him serious? So this is the token of the covenant. Now go to the next verse. These words were rehearsed from generation to generation. The fathers sat their children down and taught them. The reason we teach from generation to generation is so that those truths will not be lost along the line. They taught them to the point that Jesse, who had 8 sons, taught all his sons from Eliab to Abinadab to Shammah all the way to David, number 8. But how many of them remembered the day that it mattered the most? Doesn't that show how we sometimes forget who we are in Christ? And we are harassed by the devil, and we are running around looking for deliverance ministers to lay hands on us, when we can stand and face the devil and tell him to get out in the name of Jesus. Many prophets on many mountains are making merchandise of God's people today because God's people don't know who they are. People are still operating under the old covenant, going to prophets to help them see, sir, I have 2 brothers chasing after me. Which one should I marry? I can tell you that annoys the Lord Jesus Christ. It gets him annoyed. If your parents did that, don't do it. If they have taught you to do that, don't do it, because it's contrary to the word of God. In the new covenant, the same Holy Spirit in the prophet is in you. And so everybody can cry, Abba, Father. Because now we have the spirit of adoption. We have been adopted into the family of God. According to Romans 8:15, we have been adopted and we can cry, Abba, Father. Why did you take away my scripture? Genesis 17. Genesis 17. Now look at this. And the uncircumcised man. Now don't forget this, because we'll come back to this later. The uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised. What will happen to that soul? The Lord said, read with me everybody, 1, 2, go. That soul shall be cut off from his people. Why? He has broken my covenant. So he doesn't deserve to live. David understood this. When David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He was saying, this guy has no covenant with God. He's a dead man. Others saw a breathing, living giant. David saw a dead man. Why? He's got no covenant. That thing that keeps harassing you in the midnight has no covenant. Can I have an amen? Amen. That thought that keeps harassing your mind, getting you depressed, has no covenant. So you can bind the thought, you can cast it out in the name of Jesus. And you may choose to pamper the thought and let it drive you into depression. It's your choice. Under the new covenant, we have liberty in Christ. Whatever you permit will persist. If you want to keep pampering nasty things that Christians go through, crazy things that you can't even share with people, some very embarrassing situations. An adult bedwetting, that's embarrassing, isn't it? A lady once came to me and shared that, and I said, that's from the devil, you know. But over time, I saw that she was pampering the situation. Until you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll continue to enjoy it. You'll continue to enjoy being sick and tired. You complain, but you're enjoying it. You're like a prisoner who loves his chains. Christ has purchased liberty and freedom for us completely, forever. Nothing should bring us into bondage again. Harassment, you sleep in the night and they beat you blue black, and you wake up in the morning and you can see marks on your body. That used to happen to a lady in this church many, many years ago. I said, you rise up. Let the giant on the champion on the inside of you rise up and you deal with that devil. We were upstairs then as an afternoon church. Hers was so bad that sometimes she would see marks on her body. And she showed me from the dream. Now, you know, when you share some of these things, sometimes you say, Pastor, your mouth is sweet. How can it happen? Well, I pray you don't experience it. Those who have experienced it can tell you it wasn't palatable. I used to be harassed by the devil myself. I would go to bed sometimes just 5 minutes into my sleep, and it would be as though 10 men were pressing me down. And they would oppress me. And I would try to shout, Jesus. Whatever. Now, medical science can explain it. They can call it sleep paralysis. Whatever name they call it. Listen, if you permit it, it will persist. The day I got myself free from it, even that demon knew that he was in trouble that day. I caught him like David. I caught him by the beard. I pulled his beard. Sharabaket all over beard. I mean, literally like I was wrestling with the man. The guy ran out of my room. I saw his backside. I got up and praised God last time. When you have a mental breakdown, medical science has a name for it. They call it neurosis or psychosis. Or they say you are bipolar. You have schizophrenia. Psychology has a name for all these things. Don't celebrate the name. Deal with the spirit behind it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Take dominion over the spirit. Bind the nonsense and cast him out. Get him out. Get out. What are you doing here? The Bible says, David said in Psalm 4 and verse 8, I will but lay me down and sleep in peace. God bless you, media. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I will but lay me down and sleep in chaos. In peace. So when you're having all kind of trouble in the sleep, it's a medical something. It happens in our generations. You know, it's a generational nonsense. Why don't good things happen in your generation? When you have sleep disorder, take this as a pill. Psalm 127, and give me verse 4. Psalm 127, verse 4. No, go to verse 2. Verse 2, Psalm 127. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth sleep. He giveth his beloved sleep. Can I ask you, are you his beloved? Why are you not sleeping? He gives his beloved sleep. When I had a problem with insomnia, 2023, I said to the Lord, I sat down like this on my couch in my living room. I said, Lord, you give sleep to your beloved. I am your beloved. I have no question in my mind about whether I'm your beloved or not. I know I'm your beloved. So, Lord, bring the sleep. I receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. The night I tried to take the pills that a doctor sneaked to give me, it didn't work. He said, now, Pastor Fred, you know you're my friend. This drug is not sold over the counter. So what do you call those drugs? Control medicine or something like that. He said, now, this is 5 milligrams. You will break it into two. You will take half. This tablet can knock you off permanently. Can knock you off for a long time. So please, I beg you, take half. I said, okay, sir. I was very happy. I got home. I took it as prescribed. I broke it into two. I took half. I swallowed it with water. I sat down on my dining area. I thought by 30 minutes, I should yawn. 30 minutes, I did not yawn. So I went to bed. I said, let me lie down. When I lie down, the yawn and the sleep will meet me there. 1 hour, nothing. My eyes were wide open. After 1 hour, 30 minutes, I got up. I went back to the medicine. I took the remaining half. I swallowed it. I went to the shower. I thought maybe if I showered, it will help calm my nerves. I showered 5 times. I went first time, hot water, turned it on, hot water. I went to bed, no sleep. I went back, cold water. I went back to bed, no sleep. I went back, I mixed it. I arranged my bathroom. I mixed the shower. Warm, lukewarm, no sleep. The fourth time, I tried something else again. Five times, my eyes were wide awake like a sparrow on the rooftop. Till the next morning. And the next morning was Dunamis 2023, April. And I was going to MC the session that morning. I was restless. That thing is a wicked spirit. That thing called insomnia is a wicked spirit. Very wicked and ruthless. It's a crazy spirit. I hate that guy. And he hates me so much. And I hate him. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me, church? Now, some of you have not wrestled with insomnia before. So I'm telling you now because of the day it will come. So you know how to deal with the spirit, not symptoms. Deal with the root cause, not symptoms. Go to the root, not the leaves. Uproot the tree. Don't cut the leaves. The leaves will grow again. Can I have an amen? Covenant. David was conscious of the covenant when he went to the battle against Goliath. So David said, go to 1 Samuel 17. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he said it twice. Verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a little warm this morning, right? But are you getting blessed? Verse 11. Oh, sorry. Did I say verse 11? That's not where I'm going. Ooh. Yes. Verse 26. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That was the first time he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. Then they took the words of David to King Saul, and they rehearsed his words. And David now repeated the same thing before Saul. Now, David said, in verse 36, he said, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised, uncovenanted Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Can I have an amen? Amen. So David put him first of all where he belonged. This guy is uncircumcised. You don't need to check him out. Don't strip him of his armor. It was a coat of mail. But I can tell you, he's got no covenant with the living God. And if you check him out, he's uncircumcised. So he put him in death zone. First of all, any uncircumcised man qualifies to die. Are you with me? Come on. Are you with me? Did you see that yourself in Genesis 17, 14 and 15? Come on. Talk to me. Did you see that yourself? So don't let it be that Pastor Fred is just making up something because he wants us to. I'm not making up anything. I'm giving you God's word raw. Because God said, any soul that is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. So he was a cut-off man. Like when you want to gain admission to university, there's a cut-off mark. If you don't meet the cut-off, you are cut off. No medicine and surgery. Or no pharmacy, no law, if you don't catch up with the cutoff point. God said, any soul, male child, that is not circumcised shall be cut off. So when David came to battle, he knew this guy is uncircumcised, he's a cut-off guy. Number one nugget, I told you 2 weeks ago, I repeated it last week, is that you must face your fears. In life, learn to face your fears. Do you remember that? David faced Goliath. He faced him face to face, Gadochi, Gadochi. He faced him, Gadochi, Gadochi. Confront your fears. Don't run away from it. Don't be speaking to other people about it. Face it. You, this growth in my body, you've got to die. You are uncircumcised. You are not permitted to stay in my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, anyone that defiles his temple is going to deal with. And so I command you to begin to dry up from the roots and you get out. This tumor in my brain, I command you to begin to dry up from the roots in the name of Jesus. You pain in my eye, dry up and get out in the name of Jesus. You speak to your mountain. Jesus taught us that in Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You must learn to confront your mountain. Confront. It sounds like a pidgin word. Confront. Come to the front. Do you know you don't confront anybody from the back? You confront. When you confront, you face the person. Tell the person, wait till they worry you. You get it out. That was how we grew up in Mokola. We were trained to fight. No matter, it's not about height. Somebody will be tall, you jump and slap him. Huh? He said, you slap me? You jump again. Bah! Before he recovers, you carry his leg. Bah! He's on the floor. Everybody's singing already. You are the champion. Now, if that guy catches you another time, it might be another story. But to confront, you come front. You come to the front. Learn to confront your fears. Did you hear what I said? And when you confront the devil also, you face him face to face, you remind him that he's a defeated foe. Remind him that Christ already went to hell because of you. And when he went to hell, he spoiled principalities and powers, including Mr. Devil. Right? Colossians, I think that's 2:15, isn't it? Now, can you put that on the screen for me, please? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What is it? In hell. Christ triumphed over you, Mr. Devil, in your territory. You didn't have any home advantage. Christ came to your territory and defeated you. Therefore, get out in the name of Jesus. You confront him. Stop crying like a cry baby. Devil, Satan, please go. Satan, please go away. Stop troubling our family. Why are you troubling our family like this? My dad just lost his job. Now my mom is sick. And then me now, how will I go to school? Let me tell you, Satan is not compassionate. Did you hear what I said? That guy is wicked to the very core of his being. That's why his name is Devil. Devil. If you remove the D in his name, what remains? Come on, talk to me. If remove the E, what do you have? Anything that happens will intimidate you. Remove the V, what do you have left? Illnesses, sicknesses, pain. He is Mr. Cause Pain. He likes it when God's children are in pain and they are crying. Remove the eye. What do you have left? Lee. Elu. Lee. L for low income, low self-esteem, low lifestyle, low sperm count. Somebody say, When a man is suffering low sperm count, how does the wife get pregnant? And you wonder, how can a man increase his sperm count? Go and read all the books. But this man looks healthy. He looks good. He feeds well. It is Satan. Satan is the one behind all those kind of things. I knew a man who was well nourished by his parents. His parents had money. When money was money. This guy, any little holiday, London, any little holiday, Switzerland. And he got married and no child. And they went to check and check. The wife was okay. She had eggs. They checked the man. They said, low sperm count. Kilamang bekini and medicine. Hypospermia. Ordinary hypo that you use to wash clothes. It is Satan behind those kind of situations. They say, eat vegetable. Take this kind of supplement. Take this one. On top of that, nothing happened. the devil will never be able to harass you anymore in the name of Jesus. The knowledge of the covenant frees you from every harassment of the devil in the name of Jesus. What's that? So there is nothing good in that guy. If he offers you a contract, he will kill you. He wants to take your soul from that contract. If he gives you an apple, that apple has worms. It will be fine outside, but it has worms inside. That's why I beg you, don't play with sin, young people. Stop toying with sin. Sin is an instrument of the devil. Stop toying with it, because he will use it to kill you. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So anything that will connect you to Satan, disconnect. Cut off his network. Satan has easy access into our lives when we live in sin. He that is born of God sinneth not, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Shanda Bahaya. He can't touch you. Because he has nothing to hold on to. Always be conscious of the covenant you have with God. God is your covenant partner. Can I have an amen? Amen. Number two, so I can make progress today. Not get number two to take from that battle. See the invisible through the eyes of faith. See. You must learn to see the invisible through the eyes of faith. No mortal man can stop a man who has seen the invisible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 14. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Next verse. But God has revealed them to us by what? Come on, talk to me. By what? By our brain? No, by his spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things. Your past, present, future, infinitesimal. The spirit searcheth all things. The spirit can scan the whole world in micro, micro seconds. Such at all things. Yay! The deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Yes? Verse 12. Now we have received. Somebody say we have received. We are not about to receive. We already have received the scanner. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. That we might gnasco, that we might come to the knowledge of the things that are freely given to us of God. One of the things freely given to us of God is dominion. We have been given dominion. We should no longer be dominated. We should dominate Satan and his entire sphere. Are you with me, church? No more harassment in your sleep, amen? Amen. No more harassment on your life, amen? Amen? Eating in the dream, getting married in the dream, starting a business, experiencing abortion, starting a course, experiencing abortion, you start something, you never finish it. All kinds of harassments. No, not anymore. We have the Spirit of God. And we have been given grace for completion. One of the things we have been freely given is grace for completion. Whatever we start, we finish. I pray for you this morning. From now, whatever you start, you will finish. Amen. Whatever you lay your hands upon to do shall prosper. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Next verse. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacher. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. That's why you must come to Bible study on Thursday. Come and learn. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. That's where we stop. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can never know them because he's not born again. Because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot see into the realm of the invisible. If you can see the invisible, you will do the impossible. There's a book like that titled, If You Can See the Invisible, You Will Do the Impossible, written by Oral Roberts. That man built a university in America. I think the first man who would do that on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the Holy Spirit. That's the university today they call ORU, Oral Roberts University, where they churn out graduates well-balanced in academics and in the Word of God. Their doctors are trained especially to go to mission fields in Africa, to come to Africa, to come and help. So they minister the Word of God and use their medicine, normal orthodox medicine, but then holy, full of the Holy Ghost. The vision of one man, one man, one man. Many Nigerian pastors and bishops who could afford it, send their children there to ORU. Because he saw the invisible. People might think you are crazy, but you are not. You can see. If you see my future, you can't see. The future I see ahead of myself. Man is so glorious. So there's no room for depression. Even though things are not working right now, but I can tell you they are working in the unseen realm. Because God is in the unseen realm, he's working things in my favor. And so when I look at my future, I see a bright future. When you look at your future, what do you see? You must learn to see yourself in the future because you are royalty. Amen? There's a song by Donald Lawrence like that. See yourself in the future. You are royalty. That guy attends the church of Dr. Bill Winston. He's been cooked with the Word of God. So when he churns out music, go and check out the lyrics of Donald Lawrence. They are all deep, 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 deep because of the pastor he's listening to. And it is your depth that will determine your height in life. Don't be a shallow Christian. Delve into the Word of God. Dig out treasures that God has released unto you. You must be able to see the invisible. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Quickly, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. For which cause we faint not, we don't get discouraged. For though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Next verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Help me tell your neighbor, whatever you're going through right now is a light affliction. Don't kill yourself. A new day is coming. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Shout glory. Glory is coming. Let me tell you, everybody, this must say glory is coming. Verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Stop looking at the condition that you can see right now. Marvelous. Stop looking at yourself right now and say, oh, am I like this? Oh, I don't have good clothes to wear. Stop! See yourself having a closet full of brand new designer clothes that you are giving out to people. You are sending them out to missionaries, sending them out to people who need help. Stop looking at the fact that the only thing you have in your cupboard right now is half Congo of Gary. That's all. No kerosene, self. If you look at that, you will be depressed. If you look at your current situation, I'm telling you, you'll be depressed. That's why many Nigerians are depressed. I saw in the news a couple of weeks ago, they said more Nigerians are visiting psychiatric hospitals now because of depression. What is causing the depression? The economy. And who is sitting on the economy? Satan. Satanic. Say, by the time I make you hungry, your thinking will change. But he is a liar. Can I have an amen? He cannot. He may determine Nigeria's economy. He cannot determine kingdom economy. Do I have kingdom citizens here? Somebody say, I have dual citizenship. I'm first of all a citizen of the kingdom of God. Then I'm a citizen of Nigeria. You see, the one here is inferior because it will soon be over. 120 years will soon be here. We are gone. Amen? But you see, that one is eternal. It never ends. And there is no scarcity in heaven right now. Oh, they didn't hear what I said. There's no scarcity in heaven right now. There is no lack in heaven right now. And so stop looking at the things which you see. Take away your eyes and look at the things which are not seen. Why? Because the things which you see are temporal. But the things which you do not see are eternal. Glory be to God. What are the things which we don't see? The promises of God. They are not visible to the natural man. When you say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, your friends will look at you and say, do you have transport fare to go out today? Sometimes they even mock you. Every morning you get up, what has it produced now? No food. Tell them, I look not at the things which I see. You know why? Because it's temporal. It is short-lived. It is ephemeral. It is not forever. A new day is coming for me. And I'm telling you, I'm going to buy you lunch. Amen? Tell that neighbor mocking you, I'm going to take you to an exclusive restaurant in town. And I'm going to give you a treat before this life is over. Can I have an amen? So a Christian has no business with depression. If you can see the invisible. Saul and the Israeli army saw the visible. What did they see? They saw the bigness of Goliath. 1 Samuel 17. Go to verse 11. It will amaze you. Verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, what happened to them? Come and talk to me, church. They were dismayed and a little bit afraid. Greatly afraid because they heard words. Can you give that scripture to me in New Living Translation? NLT, please. NLT, quick, real quick. Thank you. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Deeply shaken. Words. He didn't throw his spear. He didn't shoot a bullet. He just spoke words. Listen to me. As faith comes by words, fear also comes by words. Words are containers. They may contain faith. They may contain fear. When you go to the doctor and the doctor says, we've run all the tests, but what I see here is really not very good. According to the books, this is... has somebody had this in your family before? Your heart starts palpitating. Boo, 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 boo. By the time they are done and they give you the prognosis and say, well, according to the books, usually anyone that suffers this has about, give or take, between 3 to 5 years to live. How old am I? Words. 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 Do you know why people run away from the hospital? This is why. Have you checked your marital status? Marital status? No, I'm okay with the way I am. I don't want to check anything because by the time I check now, I'll be afraid. That was conducted on a Nigerian street. Now, that was a joke. Now, they didn't know. They thought it was HIV. When they had marital status, they thought it was HIV status. Some people would not go and check their HIV status. You know why? They said, what you don't know cannot kill you. Well, that is partially correct because you are free to be living anyhow. But I tell you, what you don't know can kill you. As a matter of fact, it's killing you instrumentally. But no, nobody's going to die here. Can I have an amen to that? So we're not careless with words. Why do people run away from doctors and run away from hospitals? Because they don't want to hear the words, the report. Because the moment they hear, all of a sudden, the man begins to lose weight. He begins to now stand in front of the mirror to check. My tummy has reduced. It was bigger than this before. Bones are coming out. Hey. Words.
Terrorists have surrounded your area. After church, don't go home. Go to another place. Go and look for a friend's place to stay. Terrorists?
Now, have you seen the terrorists? Talk to me. Have you seen them? No. Just words.
Hey, terrorist.
No. Too far.
Armed robbers around an area called, and they mentioned the area, and that's where you live.
They say, you remove your earplug. What do you call it? Airport. What did you say? Sorry, uncle. What did you say earlier? Say, I said, I just read it on the news now. You know, now they are breaking news. This particular area, armed robbers are all over. In fact, they are shooting gun. Is anything okay? Everything's okay. It's okay. Hey, why have you suddenly lost your composure? Have you seen them with guns? Talk to me. Have you heard the bullets? The gunshots? What have you heard?
Words. Words are powerful.
If somebody tells you, as you're in church right now, your four-year-old son is approaching the main road, the express. I don't care what you're doing. You're going to drop it and run to the express. All for you to get there. Your son is in the crèche. It was someone else's son they saw. Then you hold your chest. My chest, come back. Come back, come and collect money. Come and collect child. Words! The Bible says when Saul and the Israelites heard, what did they hear? Goliath said to them, if you have a man, let him come out and fight me. If I kill him, all of you are going to be our servant. If he kills me, we are going to be your servant forever. That was what he said. He had not shot an arrow at them yet. Words! That is to say that words are powerful. Don't you see heavyweight champions before they fight, whether boxing or wrestling? They grant an interview. I'm going to kill that guy. I'm going to break his neck. If I catch him, I'm going to smoke him. And they interview the other guy. The guy is just bread for me. This is bread. I'm going to just eat him. I'm going to crunch him. I'm going to finish him. The reason they are doing that is they are sending words. Words ahead. Words ahead. And somebody might catch fear. The guy said he will smoke me. That's it. He's lost the battle. You will never lose another battle in Jesus' name. When words come, reply them with words. They come in form of thoughts. When the enemy speaks, he's in the realm of the spirit. He speaks, but those words come to you as thoughts. So when those thoughts come, don't shake your head. Stop shaking your head. Are you a gamma lizard? Some flip their finger over their head. That's not what to do. Open your mouth and say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. Say that with me, church. Say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. Yeah, that's how to respond. Saul and the Israeli army saw the visible. They saw the bigness of Goliath. Go to verse 24. We just read verse 11. Go to verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, when they saw the man had not yet slapped them. They just saw him. What was their response? Talk to me, church. They fled from him and were sore afraid. Can we have that in New Living Translation? They heard, they saw. He had not fought them yet. You see how people lose ab initio. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. The guy just showed up. They took off. Oh my goodness. Nothing harasses you anymore in the name of Jesus. But David saw differently. David saw the invisible. David saw the bigness of God. Now make the timer work so that I can help me. David saw the invisible. He saw the bigness of God. And what they saw determined their actions and consequently their results. Listen, this is the principle of life. What you see is what you get. What you see will determine how you respond and it will determine your results in life. Saul and the army saw Goliath. They saw how big he was. They were afraid and they got the result of fear. David saw the same man. but he saw the bigness of God. That this guy is a little tiny thing in comparison to the bigness of my God. I'm going to kill him. I'm telling you, I'm going to smoke him. I'm telling you, I'm going to make barbecue out of him. I'm going to throw his body away to the birds of the air. And that determines his result. What are you seeing? What do you see about Nigeria? Nigeria is a terrible place. Nigeria is hopeless. Nigeria is not good. That will determine your results. For me, the land is green, full of opportunities. Opportunities yet untapped. And men, I'm going to make it big in this country. Can I have an amen? Amen. Speak that over yourself. Speak it over your city. Speak it over where you live. Ibadan is producing results for me. I'm getting good results in Ibadan. In the name of Jesus, what you see is what you get to. Some people see opportunity in every problem. Some people see problems in every opportunity. What you see determines what you get. What are you seeing? Saul saw only the physical army of Israel, but David saw both the physical and the spiritual armies. The angel armies who were there because of the covenant. David knew something about the ministry of angels. He knew that their forefathers received marvelous help from angels. They received assistance. For example, in Genesis 24:7, the servant of Abraham was assisted by an angel to locate a wife for Isaac. Genesis 24:7. See what he said? He said, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house," that's Abraham talking, "and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." That angel will be your guide. That angel will help you locate a wife. It will help you locate, like a GPS system, it will help you locate a wife for my son from my kindred. Go back to my kindred. Don't take a wife for Isaac from this strange land. I don't like their culture. I don't like their God. I serve the living God. Go back to my hometown and bring a wife to my son. How am I going to be able to do that, sir? How will I be able to? The angel of the Lord will guide you. My goodness. They rehearsed these things from generation to generation. David knew the story. David knew. That day, he said to Goliath, "You have defied the armies of the living God." Not army, armies. Saul only knew about the physical army. David knew about the physical and the spiritual army. Let me ask you this morning, are you aware that you have angels? Are you really aware? May you stop misbehaving in the front of your angels, because they are there to help you. When a Christian makes a careless confession like, "Well, anybody can die at any time," your angels will say to one another, "Well, we don't know why he wants to die. We don't know why he has made that choice. It's a very poor choice." Their hands are tied. When a Christian pronounces the word of God, "I will live and not die. The number of my days God will fulfill," angels bring out their sword. They are ready to guard you. Any death coming, they are ready to chase it away, because you have activated them by the word of God. How did I know? Psalm 103 verse 20. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandment, hearkening to the voice of his word." Anytime, any child of God, anywhere, regardless of your age, speak the word of God with faith, angels go into action. They're activated. Can I have an amen? Amen. Don't mess with me. My angels are very strong. I don't know about yours, but I can tell you that for free. My angels don't take nonsense. You hate me at your own peril. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. Dangerous to hate me. And I'm grateful to God for the kind of angels he has given me. And hey, God is not partial. He has given you strong angels too. All the angels of God are strong and mighty. We are the ones who incapacitate them. When you are doing stupid things with your phone and nobody's watching, your angels are there. And they're wondering why this has been your choice. This is a poor choice. This is a poor choice to make. When you choose to go to the nightclub Friday night, your angels stand outside the club. They don't enter the club with you. They are holy. And they keep talking to each other. I don't know how many you've got, but they talk to each other and say, "We don't know why he has chosen to come to this place. The protection of the Lord is not here." So whatever happens to you in there, you're on your own. For he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Psalm 91, verses 11 to 13. David knew that. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? Are we not heirs of salvation? Come on, talk to me now. So we have angels assigned to assist us. David knew, but Saul did not know. That was why when he was going, Saul gave him his armor, his armory, his arsenal, the weapons of his arsenal. David put everything on. He couldn't walk with them. He said, I've not proven them. Omolomo, he put everything down. He said, I've not proven them. Wisdom. Don't kill me. You have very powerful weapons like this, and you didn't go out to fight. Some people can lend you their weapons, but they themselves, they can't fight. Nonsense. What do you see? What do you see? Jacob, Genesis 48, verses 15 and 16, experienced angels too, the ministry of angels. Moses wrote in Psalm 91, verses 10 to 12 that I quoted earlier, he will give his angels charge over you. David knew all of this. He knew something about the ministry of angels. Saul saw the bigness of Goliath. David saw the bigness of God. How do you see your God? How big is your God? I'm asking you, church, how big is your God? What you see is what you get. Can your God pay your school fees? Can he send you to school? Is he rich enough to take care of you? Is your God powerful enough to heal your body? Is he powerful enough? Does he have just a little power to protect you? Just a little power to protect you. Is he powerful enough to protect you? What do you see? Stop fighting me when I have a big mouth and I make big declarations. It's because I see my God as a big God. Big God who does big things. He never does any small thing for me. One of my uncles back in the day would say, we thank God for little masses. We thank God for little masses. Little masses. I've never seen little masses in the Bible before. Great are his mercies towards me. Anu lokpo. Anu tokpo binyoni eti okun. Mercy like the sand on the seashore. That's what I enjoy. Morning by morning. They are new every morning. Great mercies. Great are the mercies of God in the life of PFE. I don't know about your life. Speak for yourself. How about Elisha? 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17. When his guy didn't see, Elisha saw. And what Elisha saw strengthened the faith of Elisha. The servant came, listen to this. Master, alas, master, how shall we do? We are surrounded. We are surrounded. Elisha said, it may look like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by him. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I am never afraid of any assassin in my life. I don't care who sends them. I don't care who you are. Even if you're a hitman of a cult, I don't care who you are. You are walking on the brown earth and on the green grass of my father. You are breathing his oxygen. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by God. Elisha said, Father, he is blind. Open his eyes. Let him see. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man because he was spiritually blind. So discerning, the gift of discerning of spirit came alive there. And he saw. What did he see? Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The chariots that came from the enemy's camp, they didn't have fire. They were pepperless. But the ones from heaven, they came with fire. Yeah, 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 yeah. Help me tell your neighbor, say fire. Yeah, 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 yeah. It makes his angel spirits, his ministers, flames of fire. You are surrounded by fire. Can I have an amen? You are impenetrable to the enemy. Make that your confession. Can I have an amen? Amen? That was what made the difference between them. I'll skip a few other things here so I can finish up. Number three. possess the mindset of a victor. Possess the mindset of a victor. 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14, quickly please, so I can finish this up. Now thanks be unto God, who sometimes causes us to triumph in Christ. Come on, talk to me, church. Now thanks be to God, who once in a while, when the skies are blue and the fields are green, causes us to triumph in Christ. When the skies are blue. You know that? Shanti be in time, Yanni. Now thanks be unto God. Now forgive Pastor PFE. I love you. You know that? Now thanks be unto God, who how often causes us to triumph.
Always.
Come on, I can't hear you.
Always.
Does that include right now?
Yes,
tomorrow?
Yes,
5 years time?
Yes,
25 years time?
Yes,
95 years time?
Yes,
causes us how many times? Always to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Every place. Everywhere. Success, favor, victory. Everywhere, every time. Don't expect a failure report from PFE. And I do not expect a failure report from you anytime, in any given place, anywhere, at any time. Are you getting what I'm saying? It causes us to triumph always, always in Christ. If in 10 years' time I meet you in London and you are not triumphing, I will slap you. Because I'll be shocked why you are not triumphing. But I see you in London, you are great. I hug you. I say, yes, I expected to see this. I would have been shocked if otherwise. We have been set up to triumph. Your background, regardless. Forget about background. Possess the mindset of a victor. We always win. We always triumph in Christ Jesus. Always, 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 always. When we are sleeping, we are triumphing. We win every time. We win every battle. Say, I win every battle. David said in his own mind, I will kill him. I'm going to kill that guy. His lunch for me, I'm going to kill him. It's your responsibility to renew your mind with the word of God. This is how you will possess the mindset of a victor and not the mentality of a victim. It was because they didn't teach me well. That was why I failed that course. It was because my father didn't go to school. It was because my mom was not really educated. Shut up, baby. Pick up your future and run. Pick up the ashes and start a new fire. Are you getting what I'm saying? Pick up the ashes and start a new fire. That a child of God may fall, but he will not fail. The righteous may fall 7 times, but I tell you 7 times he will get up again. Did you hear what I just said? So there is no stopping point. There is no failure for you because it's not programmed into your future. You must think like that. Possess the mindset of a victor. When a lion is walking about in the jungle, he calls himself the king. I'm the king here. Yeah. I'm the king. I'm the king. He's not the biggest. I'm the king. Very soon, all the other animals began to say, he's the king. He's the king. He's the king. They will call you what you call yourself. Life will call you what you call yourself. What are you calling yourself? Some people call me the blessed man. Yes, because I've called myself for many years blessed. I'm blessed. It's not a matter of how much I have in my pocket. We are not in a competition, sir. Even when I'm down to 1,000 naira, I'm still blessed. I'm still blessed. In the midst of my troubles, in the midst of my trial, I'm still blessed. I am never to be pitied. Oh, if you see what has happened to Pastor Fred now, no, never, 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 ever. Possess that. That's the way I think. You need to think like that. One day I was walking on the street of Mokola. I was about maybe 21, 22. I just met Christ that time. A lady said, and you'll be walking as if you are bigger than this. I said, really? In my mind, I've been big a long time. She was angry. See, you'll be walking as if you'll be walking like this, like you're bigger than this. How does that affect your personality? If you play small because you want to please people, you will regret it too. Live your life based on God's plan for you. Without any apologies, go ahead and make a distinction in school.
Go ahead and make a first class. Go ahead and get that job in an oil company. Go ahead and start that business and become an employer of labor. Go ahead and succeed in life. Because if you don't succeed, these same people will yap you. They will talk glass you, go. So don't be afraid of their criticism. David didn't care. His brother Eliab said, what's your problem? I'm a boy. You have come to look at the battle. David said, is there not a cause? What have I now done? He faced another person. Sir, what did you say will be done for the man that takes away this reproach from Israel and kills this Philistine? He came with a victor's mindset. I will finish him. All of you are running away. I will kill that guy alone. I will kill him. I said I will kill him. I didn't say I will fight. I will kill him. No, I'm not going to fight. I'm going to kill him. Did David fight him? Was there a fight? Goliath didn't get the chance to fight. He was coming to fight. Before he landed, something landed on his forehead and killed him. He died before he got the chance to fight. Did they wrestle? Jesus has won the victory for us. Go ahead and appropriate it. Am I talking to people this morning? We are not to fight the devil. Today, we are having men's night vigil. Men's night vigil. Many churches. We are fighting the devil. We are going to fight. No. It's a defeated foe. We appropriate what Christ has done. We are the healed of the Lord, whom Satan is trying to make sick. We are not the sick looking for healing. It's a different way of thinking. I say it's a different way of thinking. I'm not trying to be blessed. I'm already blessed. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are in Christ, you are already blessed and highly favored. You must possess that kind of thinking. That's why the Bible encourages us to renew our mind. Romans 12 and verse 2. Be transformed. It said, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why you need to come to Bible study. To have your mind renewed by the word of God. To have your mind renewed. Why is it so important to have your mind renewed? Because as you think, so are you. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your life is a reflection of your thoughts. If you are a defeated person in your thoughts, you are defeated in life. But if you refuse defeat in your thoughts, nothing can defeat you in life. I said I'm not small. They say you are small. I say I'm not small. Because of my stature. They used to say it when I was in secondary school. Say this small boy. I said I'm not small. I'm not small. I'm perfect the way God created me. Perfect shape. Perfect size. Perfect height. Perfect eyeballs, perfect voice. Perfect. That's how I think. So I never feel inferior to a man because you have physical things that I don't have. I also have things you don't have. Glory be to God. A white man looks at you and says, why are you so black? You look at you and say, why are you so white? You don't have any melanin in your skin. What do you call that pigment? That thing that makes us brown. Melanin, no. Correct. Don't mess with PFU. Glory be to God. Do you know how I think? I always think, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Amen? Romans 8:37, Paul said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. That's how to think. We are more than all of this. No money today, shortage of this tomorrow. We are more. A better us is going to emerge. Can I have an amen? A better you will emerge. You are going through training now. Don't worry. It's another season is coming. When it shall be season of jolly, and you jolly, and then you help other people. And you help to lift them. And then you look at other children who are suffering, who can't pay school fees. And you pay their school fees. And you register them for WAEC. You register them for JAM. You pay for their tutorials. You even give them transport fare and feeding allowance. One person said amen. Amen. Why are you so miserly? I said you will sponsor people through school. Amen. Because of you, some people will go to university. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a good way to live. You're not showing off. And you don't. It's not because you have a political ambition. You're doing it because you love. You're doing it because you've been there before. If you've ever been hungry in your life, and God has blessed you. When another person shows up and says, I'm hungry, you can empathize. My last point for today, glory be to God. Speak only
faith-filled words. Speak only faith-filled words. Words are containers of faith, and they are also containers of fear. I said that earlier. Faith and fear come through the same gateway. When you hear what God is saying and you see what God is saying, two levels, faith comes. When you hear what the devil is saying and you see what the devil is saying, fear comes. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Faith also comes and is strengthened when you see what God is saying. When you see. You know, somebody can be talking to you, you don't understand what they are saying, but they make an example and say, oh, I see. You see, at that point, the text, T-E-X-T, has been converted now to pictures. I saw the picture of myself in Galatians 3:13 and 14 when my family was in abject poverty. My mom was downstairs in that house selling pepper. I was upstairs on our spring bed that my parents, my mom, brought from the north. I was in Galatians 3. And I saw Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. I now saw verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I shouted that day, I'm blessed! My mom said, Akiola! I said, Ma, what's kilo day? What's the problem? I said, nothing, mommy, I'm blessed! I'm blessed in my boxer shorts. I was jumping on the bed. I was jumping on the floor. I'm blessed because I saw. Ah! So this is who I am. I'm blessed. Shin bang I didn't have in my pocket. Shin bang. But I saw the picture of me in the future. See yourself in the future. For you are royalty. 1 Peter 2:9. What does it say about you? You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Look at the combination of royalty and priesthood. So you are clean as a priest to serve God. And then you are royalty as a king to reign with Christ. He said, this is who you are, an holy nation. You don't do dirty things. No, we are not found there. We are too much for all those cheap stuff. Huh? A peculiar people. Why? That you may show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's who you are. Revelation 1 and verse 5 and 6 says that Christ has redeemed, he has made us kings and priests unto our God from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the firstborn of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Verse 6, and has made us kings and priests unto our God. He is about to make us. He is thinking of making us. He might make us someday. Has he made us? What has he made us? Kings and priests. Peter said royal priesthood combined. Revelation 5:10. Revelation 5:10. Quick. Revelation 5:10. I love media. I love my media. God bless you guys. And has made us. Oh, sorry. And is about to make us. He's thinking of making us. Maybe someday he will make us. Oh God, please make us. What has he done? He has made us kings and priests. That's why when you want to yawn, you yawn like a king and priest. You don't. In public. Royalty. Have you seen royalty before? I've done a lot of events with kings. Top-notch monarchs. They don't eat in the open. Where you see people, Ganusamala. When people are tearing meat, like there's no tomorrow. Kings don't do that. They put them in a private dining room. The king is looking at everybody as you are eating.
is enjoying himself, enjoying the music, enjoying the MC and everything. When it's time, they take the KBSE, the king, to a private room. That is where kings don't open their mouth anyhow. You may not have that money yet to do those kind of things, but have the mentality now before the money comes. You don't do just anything. You don't wear just anything. You don't wear rags. Some people, when they dress, they are fully dressed, but they are fully naked. Kings don't do that. You will never have the opportunity to see the cleavage of a queen. Never! Never! Go and check. Go on the internet. Check Queen Elizabeth before she died. Check all the queens in the world. Check them. From England to Scotland, Queen Mary and the rest of... Check! Check royalty. Even in Nigeria, check royalty. They are dressed to the neck. I'm not saying you should suffocate yourself, but even the little that you have, let it be neat. Because the mindset, we are kings and priests. We don't talk anyhow. You don't see us doing street fights. We are not the ones engaging on the street. Normally, some crazy people want to drag us back to our old life. But no, we let them realize that we've left that. Now we are royalty. Can I have an amen? Amen. So choose your words. Because where the words of a king is, there is power. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are a king, so your words carry what? Power. Your words carry what? Oh, come on now. Who am I talking to? Power. 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 Your words carry what?
Power.
Speak like a king. Power. Your words carry what?
Power.
Okay, make it louder. Your words carry what?
Power.
If you know that your words carry power, then confess the word of God over your life. I am not sick and tired. I am healthy and blessed. And I'm highly favored. And the Lord surrounds me with help. And I'm marvelously helped. Get our confession and do it every day. If you believe. What does the Bible say about your words? Many people know how faith comes, but not many know how to release their faith. Your faith is released through words. 2 Corinthians 4:13. They have believed, therefore have they spoken. We also believe, and we therefore speak. You release your faith. Don't just have faith. Faith released is what brings the results to you. Release your faith. How do you release your faith? Through your words. Whatever you don't want in your life, don't say it. Anybody can die at any time. Is that what you want? Should I agree with you? So get an accountability partner. That was how I trained myself in the early days. Get an accountability partner. That anytime you hear me say things, agree with me. Oh, I'm just sick and tired, Jerry. Then accountability partner will ask you, is that your confession? More often than not, you say, no. Then you repent. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? When you say, I'm the head and not the tail. Is that your confession? Yes, that's my confession. I stand in agreement with you in the name of Jesus. You are the head and not the tail. We can do that for one another in this church. We can be good friends, helping each other to clean our mouth, because our mouth needs cleaning. Cleansing. Our mouth needs to be taken to the dry cleaners, spiritual dry cleaners. If you hear what some people say, my feet are killing me softly. In the world is full of garbage. People, even music, killing me softly with his words. And men, we used to like it back in the day. One time. Strumming my pain with his fingers. One time. Singing my life with his words. Killing me softly. Killing you? May you not die. I say, may you not die. I swear by the moon and the stars. Those were my favorite songs back in the day. God saved me. Cuss words. I don't have a future without you, baby. I can't go on without you in my life. I cannot go on, baby. It's a lie, baby.
Can't sleep, babe. Can't sleep, babe.
Now lie. The guy is asleep. He's snoring. But you've spoken so much into your future. When you now begin to have insomnia, you didn't know that was what you said earlier. So somebody now walks out of your life, then insomnia comes. And then, boom, hospital. Boom, depression. Why? Because you confessed it. I was in UI years ago and I heard a girl in the open like this. Small girl, oh, she was calling a boy. Ayemi. Ayemi. Ifemi. Ojolami. She got everybody's attention. I said, and this girl would think that she's joking. When I looked, I had to look at the boy. When I looked at him, I was sorry for her. If this is what your future looks like, let's be careful with words. Let's be careful with words. Don't joke. Don't. Some jokes are expensive. Don't crack them. Don't. In the realm of the spirit, they don't understand jokes. You give bullets to the enemy, he will use the bullet to shoot you. You give the right words to Jesus. Hebrews 3:1 is the apostle and the high priest of our confession. He will minister those words back to us. What do you want to give Jesus to minister to you? I'm blessed and highly favored. I am loved of God. I am marvelously helped. I'm surrounded and assisted by angels. I am never alone. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I am surrounded by you. Those are the kind of things that you say. The reason I fight some of our songs is because songs, if you break it down, lyrics. What are lyrics? Words. Words. Don't just listen to the melody. And of course, who will not jade laye at the end of the day? Are you praising God with that kind of song? Let's think. You know, some of our songs is that we are abusing people. You are not really praising God. How does that praise God? You are God's treasurer. So you are God's treasurer. You are abusing somebody. You are not praising God. Are you with me, church? Let's be careful with our lyrics. Let the lyrics glorify Jesus. There are some songs you sing and the Lord is in the house already. His glory fills the temple. What songs did Moses sing that brought Pharaoh down? What songs did the children of Israel sing that brought... What did they sing? For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Go and check. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Mercy. Ah. I will tell you about mercy next week. Mercy is like a two-edged sword. We'll look into it next week by God's grace. Let me give you a few scriptures to look at. Psalm 34, verses 11 to 13. Psalm 34, verses 11 to 13. Are you there? David chose to walk by faith, and so he chose to release faith-filled words in the face of the army, the king, and the enemy. Listen to that. David chose to walk by faith. So he chose to release faith-filled words in the face of the army, one, in the face of the king, number two, and in the face of the enemy, number three. He maintained a good confession all through. David said, God will deliver this guy into our hands, and I'm going to kill him. Even though you have a better covenant with God through the blood of Jesus, if you're going to be victorious in life, you need to pay attention to the words of your mouth. Psalm 34. 11. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord? What man is he that desireth life? Expression as I'm asking you. Is there anyone here that desires life and loves many days? You want to live long that you may see good. You want to experience the goodness of God all your life. This is what to do. Next verse. Keep thy tongue from evil. And thy lips from speaking guile. Keep your tongue from evil. Your tongue.
is the smallest part of the body, but it can set the whole body on the fire of hell. James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, told us that. In other words, they lived with Jesus 3.5 years of the ministry. You don't hear foul language from the mouth of Jesus. Some Christians still today are using F words. Fuck you. Nah. Never. Don't let it come out of your mouth. F words, swear words. I'm really mad at you. May you never be mad. I will give you a piece of my mind. If you take a piece out of your mind is not whole anymore. Simply tell them, I'm really upset and we need to trash this out. Pastor, but you know, those words are just to express ourselves. Don't kill yourself instrumentally. The Korean people, back in the day, anytime they were happy, they'll say, I'm happy to death. They were sad. I'm sad to death. They were hungry. I'm hungry to death. They were full. I'm full to death. Everything to death, to death. So they began to have a short lifespan. One day, a neurosurgeon went to visit Brother Paul Yonggi Cho of blessed memory. And they were having dinner, having a meal. Go and get his book, Use Your Faith Energy. I read it in that book, Use Your Faith Energy. I read it many years ago. And the neurosurgeon was telling Brother Yonggi Cho, he said, we found something in medicine. He said, what's that? He said, we discovered that the speech center of the brain is the most active, most important part of the brain. Dr. Yonggi Cho said, well, you've just caught up with the Bible. Because the Bible says, if you are going to live long, watch your mouth. If you are going to be successful, watch your mouth. You can't be speaking failure and be experiencing success. Are you with me? The neurosurgeon said, we discovered that when a signal comes from the speech center of the brain, it goes through the maybe motor neurons or sensory neurons and motor neurons and all the neurons. For example, if somebody thinks and then says, well, I'm tired. The signal goes out and it's traveling from one department to another. Why are you working? We're tired. Why are you still working? We're tired. Why are you working? We're tired. We're tired. We're tired. We're and it will tell every department of the body that we're tired. He says that when you say that repeatedly, you just discover that you are tired. Try it for 1 week. Just wake up in the morning and say, ah, I feel tired. Try the next day. I'm tired. The next day, very soon, you will really be tired. Wake up and say, I'm energized. Even though this body wants to be behaving back on, I am energized. I'm strengthened by the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you have energy to go. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? These things are real, and they've been scientifically proven. I intend to achieve that when we go back to renewal of the mind. Even neurophysicists, they've studied neurotransmitters in the brain, and they tell us how these things work, how they work. Your life responds to your words. Your environment responds to your words. So please carefully choose your words. In Numbers 14:28, God said, as long as I live, saith the Lord, that which I hear you say in my hearing will I do unto you. The psalmist cried out in Psalm 141 verse 3. Psalm 141 verse 3. Put that on the screen, please. It says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Some of us need a security guard around our mouth. Don't kill yourself. Stop killing yourself with your words. Yeah, things are tough right now, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Don't worry, I'm wrapping up already. I'm winding down this message. Romans 10:10, the word of God tells us, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Colossians 4:6, I hope you are writing those scriptures down. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may have an answer for everyone that asks you a question. Let your words be always with grace. Grace. When you tell someone you are mad, you are crazy, is your word seasoned with grace? Is it seasoned with salt?
No. So please, let's be mindful. Some of you brothers in this church, the way you talk to sisters, and you say you are joking. Your words are caustic. I listen to some of you, I shake my head. Do you want to marry at all? Change your words! And the same thing goes for sisters too. Don't be cursing people. What? You don't try that with me, oh. Nah. The two most beautiful girls in my class in secondary school, I was never friends with them. SS1 to 3, science class. One of them, dark like charcoal. The other one, white like white. Beautiful. The white ones have had a pointed nose. But their words, horrible. And I saw their friends in class. Me, I separated myself. No, you can't be speaking. I'm still praying. Look at my life. Now somebody will not be adding insult to injury. Somebody will not be cursing me. Oh, Lori Brooke. What? And the guys will be laughing. You are, yeah. And oh, they exchange words. I trained my son in such a way that he can't abuse, he can't curse. You know girls have sharp mouth. Sorry. My daughter sometimes will get on his nerves. My son will say, are you serious? Are you for real? That's all. I said, well, thank God for your life. Thank God for the way I've trained you. I didn't grow up like this. When I was growing up, we rehearsed how to abuse people. We learned it, we wrote it down, we rehearsed it. When you capture a new one, you go and write it down. You add it to your arsenal. You abuse them from the top of their head. You abuse the head, you abuse the eyeballs, you abuse the nose. Then you abuse the mouth. Then you abuse the neck, the chest. Everything. And we were happy. Because as you give him one, he will give you another one. You give him. Give. Until you fight. When somebody is short of words. So they throw a punch, you return. Then you fight. But you have to start with abusing. So if he pains you at any point, then you fight. But you know, I grew up in the trenches. I didn't allow my children to listen to those kind of things. Don't curse. Let your words be seasoned with grace. Can you give me Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Are you getting blessed, somebody? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No, zero corrupt communication. But that which is good to the use of edifying, to build up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Preachers need to learn that too. Let your words minister grace, not condemnation. Grace to the hearers. Let your words bless people. MCs, those who lead prayer, the choir. Let your demeanor, your carriage. You are telling us to rejoice. Are you also rejoicing? Rejoice before the Lord, everybody. I say rejoice. Rejoice. But you are wearing a long face. Rejoice. Glory to God. And do you know that a smile is contagious under normal circumstances? Because some people, their situation is such that even if you laugh, they'll be looking at you. What's funny? Are you okay? But under normal circumstances, a smile is contagious. So speak good words. Amen? Let me tell you, neighbor, say speak good words. Speak gracious words. Hebrews 10:23 tells us to hold fast the confession of our faith. Let me do a little teaching here, and then I close. Put that scripture. Thank you. Read, everybody. 1, 2, go. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. When you get on an aircraft, some of you have not been there yet, but you will be there. So I'm telling you in advance. One of the things they will tell you before the flight takes off is to fasten your seatbelt. Some people drive, they don't obey that. I do it every time. I'm driving, I have my seatbelt. I sit in front, beside you, I use my seatbelt.
So on the aircraft, they will tell you, use your seatbelt. You know why? At some altitude, the airplane may encounter what is called a turbulence. If that happens, it will shake the aircraft. It will be as though it wants to crash. Sometimes, some pilots, they dodge the turbulence by flying down. Now, they don't come down like this. They dive down. So, by the time the nose of the aircraft is down, if you are not fastened to your seat with your seatbelt, you will roll. May you not roll like that in Jesus' name. A friend of mine, whose daughter is in the service this morning, shared this with me. We were in Lagos, and he was sharing this with me. He said he was flying, he works in Lagos, family lives in Lagos. He was flying, I think, from Lagos to Port Harcourt. And everybody, of course, fastened their seatbelt. But there was a turbulence. So at some point, the pilot flew above the turbulence, pretty far into the clouds. Usually, when you're going on an international flight, usually 33,000 feet above sea level, but local flights don't go that high. In this case, the man had to go pretty high to avoid the turbulence. So they avoided it. But they got to another point where it was really bad and crazy. So the man had to fly. He was an experienced pilot. Ah, man. When you fly with an experienced pilot, you will enjoy the flight. The man bent. He tilted the airplane like this. Some of you have seen it in movies. Now, the moment the airplane was like this, bent, slanted, guess what happened? You know the cubicles in the airplane where people keep their hand luggage? The thing opened and boxes began to fly and started hitting people on the head, in their mouth, everything. He said to me, it was so bad. The pilot was apologizing from the cockpit and telling the people that everything was under control because as part of your training as a pilot, you must not panic. The moment a pilot panics, that's the end. So he has to keep telling you everything is under control. Don't worry. We're just going to navigate through this in the next five. He will keep talking to you. I've been in a little turbulence before. One lady almost tore my skin. I said, you know me? I said, I'm ready. Did I buy your ticket? As the airplane slanted like this, boxes, booga, da. What you call bass bells. Do you know bass bells? There was more than enough bass bells. You know the funny thing? Which was not funny. Urine. From the toilet, from the convenience, the restroom of the plane. I guess someone went to use it. Just before. I know some people are in the habit of using and not flushing. What they do in their home follows them outside. Ishele, ongbenwode, ita. Somebody's urine poured. He said, now Tolu, you can ask your dad. He told me this. That day, he said his own saving grace was the fact that he was used to wearing a seatbelt. People who forgot to wear seatbelt, the moment plane did like this, they went grrr, so everything was on top of them. All the bags falling were piling up on them. When the plane went this other way, they were on top of the bags. That is how the life of a Christian is who fails to hold fast his confession. The turbulence of life will shake you, put you in every direction. One day, you're saying, I shall live and not die. The next day, anybody can die at any time. What nonsense. Did you get what I said this morning? I closed by telling you, David spoke, Goliath spoke to David. He cursed David, 1 Samuel 17. And he spoke 33 words. I counted them again this morning. Goliath spoke 33 words. 33 words. But remember that Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Guess how many words David spoke? 1 Samuel 17. Count it yourself. And the Philistine said unto David, verse 43. Am I a dog? 1, 2, 3, 4. That thou, 5, 6, comest to me, 7, 8, 9. With staves, 10, 11. Okay. So you do not count. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. How did they curse him? Next verse. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, 1, 2, 3. And I will give thy flesh, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Unto the fowls of the air, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And to the beast, 15, 16, 17, 18. Of the field, 19, 20, 21. 21 plus 11, 33. Goliath spoke 33 words. But he didn't have the final say. Don't let the situation in your life have the final say over you. When the situation speaks to you, speak back to the situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you tired? Don't worry, I'm closing. No, just give me, why are you giving me 34 minutes? Just give me 5 minutes, that's all. You people are too generous. I don't like that. You are spoiling me. You are pampering me too much. Sorry, Jerry, our first time has only 5 minutes. Let's count the words together. Then David kept quiet and began to wee-wee in his pampers. What did David do? He said, then said David to the Philistine, open your mouth and speak. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, that the God of the army of Israel, whom thou hast defied. God had that in heaven. I said, what? He defied me? David said, sir, yes, sir. This day, somebody said, this day, will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The heart of Goliath began to palpitate. Who is this small boy? Before he recovered. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord serveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The moment he said that, God said, yes, let's go and fight. And he will give you into our hands. David spoke 129 words. 33 out of 129. Which one do you think will win? 33 words without a single mention of God. 129 words filled with faith, God-centered words, covenant-activating words. I close by telling you, covenant words win always. Amen. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed? I know I took some time, but it was for your good. Did you get something out of this service today? Now, spend a minute, give the Lord praise, bless him. Thank him for bringing you to the house this morning. Bless his holy name. Worship him. Magnify his name. Covenant words win always. Covenant words win always. Come on, come on. Is that how to thank God? Thank God that you are victorious in life. Thank God that you win every battle.